Let's read together Job 32. In this chapter, we have the introduction of Elihu, or Elihu, and the beginning of his first speech, where he addresses Job's three friends who were trying to counsel Job. Let's read verses 1 through 5, where we have the introduction of Elihu. Job chapter 32, beginning with verse 1. So these three men ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite of the family of Ram, was aroused against Job. His wrath was aroused because he justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends, his wrath was aroused, because they had found no answer, and yet had condemned Job. Now because they were years older than he, Elihu had waited to speak to Job. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, his wrath was aroused. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Job 32, with some background notes. In chapters 3 through 31 of Job, we've examined the dialogues between Job and his three would-be counseling friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Now in chapters 32 through 37, a fourth counselor, named Elihu, or more properly pronounced Elihu, enters the scene and dialogues with Job. Here in the first five verses of chapter 32, Elihu is introduced. Now the obvious question for the reader of the book of Job is, where does this Elihu come from? He seems to just burst on the scene, and yet he seems to know all about what's already been said in the dialogues between Job and the other three counselors. Most likely, Elihu has been there all the time, listening to Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, going back and forth with Job in their argument that Job was suffering because of some personal sin. In fact, it could be that Elihu was like a young court stenographer taking notes. Now, when you read the commentaries on Job, you will find that there is quite a wide difference of opinion on Elihu. Some see him as a proud, young, upstart theologian or philosopher thinking he knows it all. Others see him as a bridge or mediator between the wrong analysis of Job's other three friends and the right analysis by God himself, which will come in chapters 38 through 41. Thus, in this view, Elihu becomes a picture of Christ, our mediator. Now, whether or not Elihu is a type of Christ is hard to say, but he certainly does pave the way for the Lord's confrontation with Job in the coming chapters. We see in these first few verses of chapter 32 that Elihu is very angry. Angry with Job because Job dared to justify himself before God, verse 2, and angry with the three friends because they wrongly condemned Job and did not give him any good answer. And that brings us to our doctrinal points for Job chapter 32. Doctrinal point number one. In his first speech, Elihu acknowledges his youth. In his first speech, Elihu acknowledges his youth. We will find in chapters 32 through 37 that Elihu gives four speeches. The first is in chapters 32 and 33, the second in chapter 34, the third in chapter 35, and the fourth in chapters 36 and 37. Here in chapter 32, after the introduction of Elihu and before he begins his wordy lectures, Elihu acknowledges his youth and gives his main reason for not speaking out sooner. After all, he was younger than the rest of them, and it would have been disrespectful for him not to wait for them to finish what they had to say. Let's read verses 6 through 10. So Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young in years, and you are very old. Therefore I was afraid and dared not declare my opinion to you. I said, age should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Great men, or men of many years, are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. Therefore I say, listen to me. I also will declare my opinion. Verses 6 through 10. It's hard to miss the point that Elihu is making in these verses. Normally, wisdom resides with the older generation because of their years of experience. Verse 7. But since the source of all wisdom is the Almighty, verse 8, God may sovereignly choose in some cases not to give wisdom and understanding to the older generation, like themselves, verse 9, but rather to younger men, like himself. And with that grand statement, young Elihu is ready to give his opinion of the whole situation. Verse 10 once again. Therefore I say, listen to me. I also will declare my opinion. In his first speech, Elihu acknowledges his youth. Doctrine point number 2. In his first speech, Elihu answers his colleagues. In his first speech, Elihu answers his colleagues. Verses 11 through 14. Now we say colleagues because Elihu not only knows Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, but he now becomes a fourth counselor for Job. Let's read verses 11 through 14. Indeed, I waited for your words. I listened to your reasonings while you searched out what to say. I paid close attention to you, and surely not one of you convinced Job or answered his words, lest you say we have found wisdom. God will vanquish him, not man. Now he has not directed his words against me, so I will not answer him with your words. Elihu does not begin his argument as to why Job is suffering until chapter 33. In these verses before us, from chapter 32, Elihu tells his three older colleagues in no uncertain terms that they had failed in their counsel of Job, verses 11 and 12. They were convinced now that only God could reason with Job. Verse 13, not so, says Elihu. He has not yet heard my argument. Verse 14, in his first speech, Elihu answers his colleagues. And doctrinal point number 3. In his first speech, Elihu addresses his patient. In his first speech, Elihu addresses his patient. Verses 15 through 22. Now that Elihu becomes a fourth counselor, Job becomes his client or patient. And in verses 15 through 22, Elihu addresses Job. Let's read these verses. Job chapter 32, beginning now with verse 15. They are dismayed and answer no more. Words escape them. And I have waited because they did not speak, because they stood still and answered no more. I also will answer my part. I too will declare my opinion. For I am full of words. The spirit within me compels me. Indeed, my belly is like wine that has no vent. It is ready to burst like new wineskins. I will speak that I may find relief. I must open my lips and answer. Let me not, I pray, show partiality to anyone, nor let me flatter any man, for I do not know how to flatter, else my Maker would soon take me away. In verses 15 through 17, Elihu tells Job that now that his three older friends have nothing more to say, he will give his opinion. In verse 18, Elihu says he is full of words, and indeed he is, as we will see from his four speeches. When Elihu says at the end of verse 18, the spirit within me compels me, he is probably referring to his own human spirit, not the Holy Spirit, in view of the context of the next two verses. Elihu says he is bursting at the seams with words to share with Job, like fermenting wine in an unvented wineskin, verse 19. Elihu wants to unload his many words so that he can get relief. Verse 20. In verses 21 and 22, Elihu says that he will not take sides and will not favor either Job or the other three counselors. In fact, Elihu disagreed with all of them, and he believed that if he was not fair or played favorites in any way, then God would remove him permanently. Verse 22. In his first speech, Elihu addresses his patient. And that brings us to our practical application for Job chapter 32. Learn from the Elihus. Learn from the Elihus. Now, we mentioned that there is quite a range of differing viewpoints concerning the character of Elihu, all the way from a wonderful mediator representing Christ to a young upstart theologian or philosopher thinking he knows it all. We concluded that whatever view you take of Elihu, you must admit that Elihu paved the way for the Lord to speak to Job. Now, do you see the practical application for us? Along life's way, we will meet many Elihus. Some will be wonderful mediator types that will give us good counsel, and we can certainly learn from them. Others will be the know-it-all, would-be theologians and philosophers who will lecture us about our problems and will try to run our lives, and in the process will give us little comfort. But we can learn from these Elihus as well. Even by giving us bad counsel, it makes us stop and think and examine our lives before the Lord so that He can speak. Learn from the Elihus. And practical application number two, all Elihus should remember James 3:1. All Elihus should remember James 3:1. James chapter 3, verse 1 says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." James 3:1. Now, what do we mean by our practical application, all Elihus should remember James 3:1? The point is that not only will we be on the receiving end of many would-be Elihus out there, as we learned in our first practical application, but there will be other times when we find ourselves in the place of Elihu. That is, there will be times when we are the counselor giving counsel and not the recipient receiving counsel. It's an awesome responsibility to be in the role of an Elihu. If we give bad counsel, we could mess up someone's life and we would be responsible. That's why all Elihus should remember James 3:1. "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." So teachers and counselors who, like Elihu, are using teaching in their counseling will be held accountable before the Lord and held to a higher standard at the judgment seat of Christ. Notice how this portion of James is all about the control of the tongue, because the tongue is a small part of the body, but it has a big effect. This, then, is the context of the exhortation in verse 1. "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." And notice from verse 2 that we are all vulnerable to saying the wrong thing and giving bad counsel. Verse 2, once again, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect or mature man, able also to bridle the whole body." So it is especially important that we remember the truth of James 3:1. "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." Now, this exhortation is not telling us not to become teachers and counselors, but rather to remember the awesome responsibility we have before the Lord as teachers and counselors. All Elihus should remember James 3:1.